We're going to head straight into Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart, but those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. Security. Now, there's a word I imagine conjures all kinds of thoughts in our minds. In a week when powerful world leaders are talking about nuclear buttons and how big they are, all of us could find ourselves reflecting on international security. I guess nationally, on a national scale, if you're living in Syria right now, you would have next to no hope of any kind of security. You're likely to be fleeing for your life. Or if you're a Christian in North Korea, the country that Open Doors rates as the hardest place to live as a Christian, you're going to have interesting thoughts on how secure you feel in life. I guess that might put some of our fears into perspective. But still, when we think of Brexit, the continuing discussions over that and the outcome, when we think of our stretched National Health Service, our amazing health professionals doing all that they can to serve an ever-growing and demanding public with ever-diminishing resources, we could wonder about, say, for example, the future of our health service. How secure is that? Questions of security, how safe we feel, should remind us of how fragile we all are. Of course, for many in our world, perhaps some of you tonight, that kind of reflection doesn't often take place. There is little serious reflection on what we're putting our hopes in, where we're finding our security in life, and whether money or health, fitness regime, our relationships, our work, our abilities, our religion, whether these are really sufficient to provide the kind of stability and security in life that we long for. I guess personally we might be able to identify with some of those to differing degrees. We might be looking at this coming year and looking at real uncertainties and fears and thinking about perhaps work and our relationships and decisions that we've got to make, and we're unsure, we're insecure. And then what about us as a church as we look into 2018, as we think about Kensington and the three congregations, BC3, Eastern Village, as we think about the future of our life together, it would be easy for us to feel fearful and insecure, wondering what's going to happen, where are we heading? And the great news is that this psalm answers precisely those questions. It talks about security in life for God's people. It speaks in the grandest and greatest of themes, the grandest and greatest you could ever wish for. Security in God through his presence. Security in God from sin's power. Security in God in his good purposes. We're jumping into a group of psalms this term known as Psalms of Ascents. You can see it under the number 125 there in your blue Bibles, the Bibles you might have brought. And it's there from Psalm 120 through to 134. It seems that this group of psalms were sung by the people of Israel as they used to go up in pilgrimage to key festivals in Jerusalem each year, like the festival of Passover. And as they made their way to that festival, to Jerusalem, as they pilgrimed their way there, they would sing these psalms particularly to encourage and strengthen them in their journey. And their psalms are our psalms too. Now, we're not going up to Mount Zion, to the temple, the physical building in Israel which signified God's presence. We're not heading to Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. We know that all of that has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is the temple. He is the king. Remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4? A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. A time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And through faith in Jesus Christ, God's Spirit has come to his people. God's people are those who worship Jesus Christ. They do not live together in one land, but are spread across the earth. but it's building his church globally. But this is still our psalm. In fact, in an even fuller way, since it has found its fulfillment in Christ. We are pilgrims in this world, looking to Christ, living for him, heading to the heavenly city, the new heavens and earth, the new land that God will create for those who love him. And we sing these songs to encourage one another and build one another up as we journey together there in Christ. Look at the security that this psalm offers for all who trust in Jesus. Security in God through his presence. Look at how the psalm begins, verse 1, Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The original singers, like us, knew what insecurity and fear felt like. The same fears in life. They knew what it was to have hostile nations surrounding them. And they centered their thoughts, you see in verse 1, on God, on the Lord. They thought of Mount Zion, on which the temple of the Lord stood, which could not be shaken, and the mountains that surrounded Jerusalem. And they saw that as symbolic of the sure presence of the Lord with his people, steadfast and certain, like that Mount Zion, like those mountains. Those who trust in the Lord cannot be shaken. He surrounds his people forever. Now, physical Jerusalem never really lived up to this kind of enduring stronghold, as history shows us. Mount Zion was actually not that high up. It wasn't so surrounded by mountains to make it impregnable. These words were always waiting for their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Trusting in Jesus means that we are utterly safe. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his presence with us, his arms around us mean that we are utterly safe in every season and circumstance of life. Through youth, through early adulthood, mid-age, old age, through every decision for ourselves, our loved ones, as they leave, maybe for another country like Beth, God is present and with us and for us, all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. Friends, there is not one second of your life where God is not with you, by your side, knowing you, loving you, caring for you, present with you in Jesus Christ. He never leaves. Regularly, as a pastor, I will visit someone in hospital, especially when they're really unwell. Often I feel this in lots of pastoral situations, actually, but especially in a hospital context. And if they're really unwell, I will feel the pain of having to leave their bedside. I remember feeling that acutely about 18 months or so ago, visiting a lady in the village congregation who was really unwell. She was desperately unwell, in intensive care. Late one evening, I visited her. It was quite quiet in the unit. She was unconscious. One of the doctors who I got to know a little bit, who was caring for her, commented to me on how unwell she was. And I read the Bible with her and prayed, and then I had to leave. And in one sense, I didn't want to do that. But as I walked out of that South Mead intensive care unit, I rejoiced that where we leave, God never does. He's there with us, with that friend in that workplace, with that child, that grandchild, in that sadness, in that confusion, God is present. And as we'll see later in the psalm, he is at work. And of course, as New Testament believers, all of us can speak of God living in us. He's not just with us. God is in us by his Spirit. He lives in us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, not standing before temple stones in Zion, like the Israelites of old did, but living stones, part of the church of God, where God dwells by his Spirit. So take heart, friends. God is with us. Now, as we walk on this pilgrimage together, God is with us. I wonder where we would say the greatest danger to our security lay. God is with us, we're secure, but what's the greatest danger? What's the greatest threat? If I put out pens and paper to everyone now to write the greatest threat to our security, what is it? Earlier this week, someone in one of our prayer times, we just had a week of prayer here at Kensington, gave the answer that this psalm does. That was a great encouragement to me. Because this psalm says that our greatest danger, the greatest threat to our security, is sin. That's what the psalm speaks about next. Security in God through his power over sin. The psalmist's greatest concern is for the pilgrimage of the saints in an evil world. A world living under the power of sin and the devil and the effect that that could have on God's people. Look at verse 3. That's what this enigmatic verse means. Look at verse 3. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Scepter of the wicked there stands for any God opposing government or power or influence in all walks of life. For the people of Israel, this might have meant the invasion and influence of foreign nations who did not know God and who turned the Israelites away from God. But it also would have included the reign of a corrupt and wicked king, many of which are actually recorded in the books of 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles. In the presence and power of wickedness and sin, God's people, the righteous, might start to do evil, might do wrong. And that is of great concern to the psalmist. What is the central danger to the security of God's people? It is the power and pull of sin in our lives. A surrounding culture that does not know God means that God's people are susceptible to and constantly tempted to go wrong. So what does that look like this week? I thought of at least these three. You can probably think of a lot more. In the face of persecution, when we're being persecuted, when we're being got at for what we believe, we can be tempted to retaliate, to respond to evil with evil. The Bible says don't do that. We can be fearful, can't we? The surrounding culture can make us fearful of not fitting in. And we don't want to stand out, so we can go along with the crowd, saying what they're saying, doing what they're doing, for fear of standing out. We can also fear not getting on in life, how the culture works, how our ambitions are fulfilled, how we get on, how we fulfill our dreams. We can start see what the surrounding culture is doing and start buying into that, acting like those around us, speaking like those around us. The influence of those who oppose God, the reality of sin in the world, is the greatest threat to the security of God's people here in this psalm. Be killing sin, or it will be killing you, as the Puritan John Owen famously said. All of us in this room can identify with the pull and power of sin in our lives, the temptations each of us face to do evil, to disobey God. But we need to hear this evening that security is found in God through his power over sin. The psalmist rejoices in God's power over sin to remove the wicked from the land. There in verse 3. God is in control. We rejoice in God's power over sin in its full and final defeat through Christ's death on the cross. As we said earlier, God's people no longer live in one land. Now, all over the world, God's people are those who are righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Through his death on the cross as our substitute for sin, God has defeated the power of sin. And all who trust in Jesus no longer live under its power, but have found forgiveness and life in Christ. That doesn't mean that we are free from the presence of sin, that we can somehow live a perfect life. We're not saying that. The Bible never says that. We will never live sin-free lives. But I've been praying that I will know this and you will know this at the start of this year. We are free from sin's power. In Christ Jesus, we have died to sin. And so, as Paul says in Romans, we are not to let it reign in our lives. We are to do battle with it. We are to put it to death. In 2018, do not be content, Christian, with sin, especially the besetting sins the old sins in your life, the you sins, the sins of that's me. In Christ you are forgiven. In Christ you have the security of God's power over sin. Be the people God has made you to be. And as we do, as we know Christ's power in us, by his Spirit to live for him, we are to remember that we have been freed from the penalty of sin. Hallelujah. God has won the decisive victory through the death of his Son on the cross. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we do fall, when we do fail, which I do every day, oh, so much, we know that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who has provided full and free forgiveness for all our sins, past, present, and future. He rules. He reigns. He will strengthen his people with his grace in our lives day by day. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are secure in God. And thirdly, we are secure in God through his good purposes. The psalm now actually ends by a prayer. Look at verse 4. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. We are declared good, right in God's sight, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Christ's goodness, his righteousness, covers us and enables us to live good lives that please God, to do good works. And God promises his people that he will work for their good in all things. The Lord works for the good of his people always. And that should give us great hope as we look across this year. The Lord is not out to trip us up, to hamper our hopes, our dreams. God's desire is always to bless his people with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. So when we think of our plans, when we think of what is in our diaries, what you've put in your calendars, what we've pinned up on our fridges, what we've entered into our tablets or phones, know that God plans to do you good, brother and sister, and to do good for his glory. Now, please don't hear that as a promise to a pain-free, suffering-free life. Not at all. We live in a sinful, broken world. More than that, since Christ suffered, we are called to suffer too. God regularly accomplishes his good work in us through suffering. That is the way of the cross. But know that whatever is happening to you in your life, God is working for your good and his glory. The purposes of God are to make us more like Jesus, so that the upright in heart are transformed from one degree of glory to the next. In 2018, God has good works for you to do. God has purposes for you to fulfill, and they are good, brother and sister. And though you might not see it now, in glory, you will look back in tears of joy to see what God has done. But there is finally a warning at the end of the psalm. Those who give up on God, who turn to crooked ways, show that they were never really his in the first place. That God's presence, his power over sin, his good purposes, that was only of momentary passing interest. It lasted just for a few months or a few years or a few decades. Make no mistake, the result of those who turn away is to be banished with the evildoers. It's an eternal life of hell. Now, remember where we started talking about security. We all want security. Deep down, we crave it. Another way of describing security is the word peace. And that's how the psalm ends. You see how it ends? Peace be on Israel. Peace be on the people of God. Peace here is the Hebrew word shalom, which means harmony and wholeness and order and rest in the whole of our lives, every part, every element. And given what we've just seen, it's not surprising that the psalm ends in this way. When we have the security of the presence of God with us, always with us, never leaving, when we have the security of God's power over sin, he has conquered sin in Christ, we've won the victory, the penalty has been paid for, we've been empowered to live for him. When we have the security of God's good purposes being worked out in our lives, then we are going to be people of peace. There's going to be a peace, a rest, a togetherness that should be so attractive to those around us. As we go out into this coming week now, as people meet us and talk with us and listen to us, how many times in testimonies, even from this platform, will you hear people describing a Christian and their influence and how they lived and how they walked and their joy and their love, their peace in Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, know the security of God's presence, His power over sin in Christ, His good purposes in your life. Know His grace at work in you in 2018.